Drinks for the Rest of Us, episode 100. 100 episodes. I didn't realize this is such a milestone hit today. It just seems like a regular old day, and I didn't prepare anything special or anything. Actually, we do have a special guest. But this is a show about Linux. We talk about Linux news, applications, distros, all kinds of Linux stuff, including Linux Fests, which we're going to talk about today. But first off, let me introduce the man who brings the goods week after week after week, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from door-to-doorgeek.com. What's up, Door?
Hello, Steve. Busy week. I don't want to go back to work tomorrow, but that's near there. Before we start, I got to say, support those who support you. If you out there have gained anything from Lalo Nunez, why don't you stop by the Podnuts forums? And I believe the actual topic section is general announcements and rules. Stop by there, see Lalo. I can tell you, I don't talk to him much because he's a Puerto Rican guy that looks like he could kick my butt. But he's a really nice guy. He's had a couple things really drastic happen in the last couple months, and he's trying to help everybody out. At the same time, he needs a little bit of help. I'm going to definitely try to do my part here in a couple days. I just encourage people, if you've gotten stuff from him in the past that helped you, that made you better, pay back.
Is he, he's not asking for donations. He's cutting prices on his products, right?
He basically said, you just go to my site, you donate nearly anything kind of thing, and tell me what video series you want.
Nice. Cool. Yeah definitely hook Lalo up. He's a good man. He does a great job on Podnuts Pro. And the guy gives a lot more than he receives in life, because I live right down the street from him, and he's a really good dude. So sucks that some bad things have happened. And support him if you can. Yeah. All right. I also want to introduce another guest we have on the show today, Moose from Ohio Linux Fest. What's going on, Moose?
Lots and lots and lots of stuff. It's been a very busy week.
Yeah. I can imagine. What, gearing up for the fest?
Yep. We're running a little behind this year, which I believe is the same thing I said last year. We finally got our schedule online, and all the little ducks are starting to fall in a row. We're really gearing up for an amazing year, amazing conference this year.
Yeah, I know a lot of us guys here are looking forward to going. I mean, we talk about it in Google Plus. We talk about it on the shows. It's going to be my first fest. I heard it was awesome last year, so I'm psyched.
Oh, this year's going to make last year look like kindergarten. We really have kicked it up, and there was... made some major changes, some minor changes, shuffled some stuff around, and we really think that this year people are going to enjoy things more than ever.
Nice. Now, what is your official post for Ohio Linux Fest?
You know, again? Somebody just asked me this. We have our staff meetings on Tuesday nights, and someone said, so exactly what is your official title? And I said, chair, and then I said, you know, the truth is I'm a very fat person. I'm too fat to be a chair. I should be couch.
You're couch.
I'm couch of the Ohio Linux.
I love it. Nice. All right. Well, at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Dor to fire some questions at you. And I think, Dor, did you have anything else before we talk to Moose about Ohio Linux Fest?
Well, first, the super quick basic is, it should be obvious to people. And what it is, it's basically... Linux is people. The whole point of this fest is so individuals can meet individuals, listen to individuals, and talk about things. In closed source software, there is no people. It's businesses, organizations, teams. You know, there is no virtual individual except for the head of that company. In Linux, everybody is a person. And at Ohio Linux, there's going to be easy 1,000+ cool people to meet that really, most of them just have the goal of having fun, talking to people, learning stuff, and, you know, talking about stuff that they've seen and witnessed over the years. And to support Ohio Linux Fest, super quick, I know if we go to ohiolenox.org/registration, if you are going to go after that fest, I'm going to tell you now, you have to do it. You have to do it, period. They don't want to be overwhelmed, all of a sudden surprised there's hundreds of more people than they thought were going to come.
We have to do what?
Register.
Okay.
And it is completely free to register if you choose the free option.
I want the party pack.
Yeah. Well, you got a party pack too. I can't believe it's been a year, Moose.
Yep. Time flies.
Literally, it flew. I mean, last year to me was a complete blast. Nonstop fun. Talked to all kinds of people. All kinds of speakers I saw, got some really cool swag. And the keynotes to me were nearly epic, is all I can say. And looking at everything you guys set up, I'm even more amazed this year. I don't know where you want to start at about the fest. I mean, where is it and when is it?
We are in the Greater Columbus Convention Center in scenic Columbus, Ohio. We are September 28th through 30th. There's, hotel information. We have some, we're not in one single hotel this year. We're branched out into three hotels, which are all spitting distance from the convention center itself, more or less attached to it. Reasonable rates, around $110 a night, I think, for those coming out of town. And of course, being a convention center, it's a big parking lot for locals. And of course, it's on the bus systems and the like. And the big chunk of the event is on Saturday, but there are still activities and things going on Friday, especially Friday and Saturday as well, or Sunday, excuse me, Sunday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Saturday seemed to be the hustle and bustle day. The one thing I got to just point out to people is this convention center is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Moose is a couch, then this is a tractor trailer.
It's more like a small city.
Yeah. I mean, literally, this convention could hold 3,000 people, dare I say, almost comfortably. There's so much free space available here. I don't know how it is in other fest, but I can tell you I'm not one to be stuck in big crowds where there's not a bunch of room. And last year, there was a lot of people and room, which I thought was the best of both worlds. Can I ask, who are the keynote speakers this year? Because I noticed one of them.
We have four keynote speakers this year. Wow. You were saying earlier the Saturday being the bulk of the day. Don't dismiss Friday. We have two big things on Friday. I'm going to bring this up before I answer your question real quick. One is our training program, Olaf Institute, which offers really high quality technical training geared mostly towards system administrators at a price you're not going to find anywhere else. And the other thing is our Early Penguins track. And the Early Penguins grew a couple years ago out of the fact that we had so many quality talks that deciding amongst them drove us bonkers. And we said, you know, we've got a little free space on Friday. And so we had a couple, and it turned out to be really popular. So this year from 10 a.m. through 5 p.m. we have some of these, and it's not that they're leftover speakers. It's not that they're people that we had in a reject pile. They're actually people. When we do the schedule, there's a lot of this talk fits with that talk, fits with the other talk, and these are just talks that we couldn't find the space for on Saturday. And at the end of the Early Penguins track is our first keynote, and that is the always popular godfather of the Ohio Linux Fest, John Mad Dog Hall. And anybody who has never had a chance to hear Mad Dog speak has to come hear this man speak. He is just so amazing. He's done so much with computing through the years.
Yeah.
He's the head of the Linux Institute. He's just an amazing and I'm at a loss for the word for inspiring speaker. He's one to really get you riled up into not just wanting to do more with Linux, but to do more with getting others to use free and open source software. And he'll be talking, his specific talk this year is, where's my schedule? Sorry.
Yeah, he's at, I think, 5 p.m., 5 to 6.
That sounds correct. Let me double check here. I'm so sorry. There's right. so much going on at the Ohio Linux Fest that I can't remember everything off the top of my head yet. His keynote this year is at 5 p.m. on Friday, talking about the perfect storm that's coming up. One of his big things is always about how Linux is slowly and free and open source software is slowly overtaking the corporate the closed source operating systems, and what's the future holds for us.
Yeah, I was gonna say, his talks aren't even, I mean, you can tell this is not some reading off of 3x5 index card talk. This guy has done it so many times. He is so natural when he's speaking in front of a crowd. He is truthfully doing a couple things to me very successful. Explaining things to the masses in digestible part they can understand. And dare I say, revealing his soul on how he believes things were, things are, and things are going to be. I honestly can listen to him talk about tofu recipes, even though I don't want anything to do with tofu recipes. That to me is going to be maybe the epic high point of the whole thing. I had a blast last year, shaking his hand alone. Needless to say, high point of the whole event. And I didn't realize this, but you're right. Friday, SSH, the easy way. Let's just say I know a couple of people who need to attend that class. Arduino and Linux. Microcomputers are so much in the fad right now. That should be great. Software patents, MySQL replication. That's something I know a couple of people really need to learn about. So you're right. And the Friday is no slouch. There's definitely some good stuff there. And I know the OLF Institute classes, last year, I know one guy that went to them, and the only thing he said to me was they could have charged 3 times the amount, and I could have easily justified that price.
So, wow.
So he was really happy with it.
If you go to just about any other conference, you will pay upwards of $1,000 easy for the one day of training that we offer for $350. That's it. And this year, our instructors are coming from companies like Red Hat and Cloudera and the Linux Institute. I mean, we've got training and things like... what's it pronounced? Hadoop. I've never used it. And Puppet and SE Linux and time management for sysadmins. And of course, we always have. Oh, you laugh about time management, but if you've ever met Tom Limoncelli, who started the wave of time management for sysadmins and wrote a book about it. Talk about your people who are passionate about their thing. So Tom isn't coming to teach this class himself. Alex, isn't that terrible? I can't remember his last name. I've known the guy for years, too.
Tomalanskinen. I see one guy with a really hard last name.
Yeah. He's an excellent teacher. Everybody who has taken the class and has read the book has said, "Oh, it changed the way I work. It changed how I get stuff done."
Cool.
And every year with OLFI, we also do the cram class for people who want to take the LPI certification. And the cram class covers the 101 and 102 LPI certification tests, which are offered on Sunday. And for those people who want to really learn the raw basics of Linux, who they want to try it out, but they've never installed it, and they want people to actually be there with them to help them install it, we offer a discounted Linux basics class for only $250. Instructors will walk you through installing Linux on a laptop and getting it up to a usable point. And then at the end of the class, for another $100, you can actually buy the laptop and take it with you.
Yeah.
It's a wow. real deal.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
I know one guy that took that last year as well, and he said he got the laptop. He said, I felt like I was stealing it. He said, I could take it home and put it on eBay and make more than what I paid for it.
Do we know what kind of laptops it is?
Not this year. We don't know yet. We're not working with the same vendor. We're working on with a new company this year.
Gotcha.
We haven't nailed that down yet. But they'll be nice laptops.
Yeah, I have very little doubt they're going to be very comparable to what people have today, you know, kind of thing. And yeah, he said, I knew how to install Linux. He said, I really did. I've installed it before. He said, but I liked the points they brought up in that class. He said, they talked about things that I honestly didn't think about as being issues. So he was another guy who was really satisfied with that class.
Yeah, I actually met Scott and Kathy Courtney. Scott Courtney's been part of the Ohio Linux Fest longer than I have. And I met Scott professionally. We were both teaching a series of classes for a client for, at the time, the company that he works for. I was contracting at the time and to teach a class. And he had been assigned to teach in Linux installation for them. And a very long story short, which I can tell you another time, he wound up having to teach part of my class because of a communications breakdown. And he was, without a doubt, one of the best teachers I've ever had the privilege of working with.
Hmm.
And I have no doubt that anybody who wants to really get good advice on how to install Linux, who isn't someone who's been doing it a million times themselves, will get a lot out of this class.
Very cool. Very cool indeed.
So that's the bulk of Friday, and I've perverted your question into walking through the event. So if you want me to switch back to talking about keynotes, I can do that.
No, well, not necessarily. Trust me, actual following the space time continuum is a good thing.
but time is all timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
Right. Now, question. Last year, there was a pre-party that was semi-official, it seemed like. Wasn't really, big, partially because there wasn't a lot of people yet there ready to get things, let's say, busy. I, on the other hand, was up till 2, keeping things quite busy. Do you have any plans this year for a pre-party?
We do, and this year you do not want to miss the pre-party. The pre-party is going to be lots of fun. Not quite as cool as the after-party, but still pretty cool.
When is that?
When is what? The
pre-party.
The pre-party should be starting at, what did we say, 7?
I can't remember if it was 7 or 8 last year.
Yeah, what did I put on the...
Seven.
I put on 7 on the schedule.
And on Thursday?
Friday.
Yeah, you can show up Thursday and you can help us stuff bags and do all sorts of other volunteer fun stuff. The pre-party, what we're doing this year, our BOF coordinator had a fantastic idea. Our BOFs are scheduled for Friday night from 7 to 10 p.m. in 1 hour slots, 7, 8, or 9. And the BOF sign-up stuff is up and available if you click on the BOFs link on ohiolinux.org if you want to schedule birds of feather sessions. They're basically a way for people who have a like interest in a particular thing to get together and talk. And depending on the conference, they vary from people who just want to get together and talk about something, or someone has a problem and they're hoping to crowdsource a solution. They can be really interesting. They can be lots of fun. And so we're mixing that with the pre-party in the same place, and what we're going to do is we're going to have a slumber party. We'll have cookies, we'll have hot cocoa, and we'll have a bring your best or wear your best geek sleepwear. Now, we have a strict conduct policy, which says, you know, you must behave as adults, you must dress appropriately. So it doesn't mean you have to show up in a suit and tie to either the event or the slumber party, if you so choose to dress up for it. We do ask that you don't show up in, you know, baby dolls and anything revealing. But I think there's enough... Man.
Steve, we gotta leave our baby dolls at home.
Can we sleep over?
Unfortunately, no. But
what kind of slumber party? I'm just kidding.
It's the kind where mom and dad take you home at 10 o'clock.
I like that idea. That's pretty cool. Well, I'm looking forward to some hot cocoa, actually.
But part of the idea is to have something that's fun but not crazy, so that we've had a couple instances in the pack where people get really blastered the night before. And on Saturday, they're just a wreck. And that's fine if you're an attendee, but when you're in a speaker, it's sometimes a problem. and if somebody is really that desperate that they really would prefer to go drink, there's plenty of bars nearby that they're welcome to go off to. But we hope that they'll come and stay and have a good time and just relax with us and visit the boffs. And we may have some gaming on Linux machines, you know. I'm not sure what kind we're working on that. There's a couple people got a couple fingers in pots, but stay tuned. We'll have something fun.
Can I ask you guys something about the boffs?
Sure.
Are boffs something that you start like when you're there, or is it a pre-planned thing?
The general rule is that you schedule it ahead of time if you can. But there are plenty of people who show up and go, you know, it'd be really cool to have a bunch of people who want to get together and talk about NFS V4 and go to the BOF coordinator or hop online and see if there's still a slot open and sign up for it.
I gotcha.
And we've got 6 rooms available, 3 slots. So, I mean, they may fill up, they may not. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say it sounds like a first come, first serve.
Yes, completely.
So if you wait, you might not get nothing.
I'm such a waiter. I wait for things. Hey, is there, last question from me. Is there any... Oh, this might not be my last question. I'm starting in the music industry right now. I would love to get out of Windows and go into Linux. Is there any talks or boffs right now set up at the Fest for Linux in the music industry?
Actually, there is. On Saturday, we have...
Saturday, track 2, Neil Clopton.
Neat. I'm there.
It's like switching from proprietary to free software for audio and video production.
Ooh, I'm going to that.
We usually get a couple more media-related talks, and this year we didn't get as many. But
okay.
But yeah, but that one, both of them actually sounded really good. So we grabbed them and ran.
Neat.
Very cool. I'll say the one following that interests me. Automating video editing with open source. If there's anything that tickles my fancy, it's automation. Because
that sounds good too.
Yeah, I just love being able to set up something once and then knowing the workflow is automated, it will take care of itself. I drop a file in, I walk away.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
We've got some absolutely amazing talks this year, both on Friday and Saturday. Our keynote in the morning, Wendy Seltzer is, she's still part of the, she founded the Chilling Effects Clearinghouse, which is meant for people to deal with when they get cease and desist letters and threats from various corporations about their content on the net. And she's a lawyer. She's a policy counsel to the World Wide Web Consortium. She's a fellow with Yale's Law School, their Information Society Project. She specializes in intellectual property, intellectual property, excuse me, privacy and freedom of expression online. And she's going to talk about SOPA and its, for lack of a better term, children and its fallout and the dangers that keep cropping up with new and different versions of this nonsense that too often keeps getting ignored by people. I'm starting to think that personally, I think there's that we're starting to get worn down
mm-hmm.
by all the threats. And it's getting to the point where they're just going to sneak something really bad past us. And we're going to turn around and all of a sudden have a fraction of our rights left on the net.
Exactly my belief as well. Because everybody went ballistic about SOPA, 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 SOPA. And each time something similar S comes up, less and less people seem to be complaining about it.
Yeah.
And I think you're exactly right. It's only a matter of time before they just slip something right in. And then a couple months later, somebody says, hey, but there's a law now against this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by that time, it's virtually too late. So that's another talk that really interests me because if I know politicians, they're going to do everything they can to take money from a lobbyist and push this kind of stuff through.
We got to be really careful.
Absolutely. Oh. Yeah, and it looks like you have a total of 7 tracks on Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to hit on a couple of the general talks. Now, I'm not recommending any talks over any other talks. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite complaints I love to hear at OLF is, damn it, you have too much going on. I can't decide which of these tracks I want to see. And, you know, I want to pull out the world's smallest violin, oh, you poor thing. That's exactly what we want to hear. We really want to hear that you're stuck. Now, the gentleman who's speaking about OpenSUSE, who's also speaking for us on Friday, he's not terrible. I can't remember. He's a lead on the OpenSUSE project, and I'm not a SUSE person, so I don't know this as well. But if this is a big deal, he's actually lives in Scandinavia, and wow. is coming to the U.S. the week before for a big SUSE conference and is staying the extra week just to come to OLF.
Wow.
And
I've seen this guy. Well, I've seen his picture before. He's the community manager. I've heard him talk before, and I got to say, I really like the stuff he was saying.
Well, we got a bunch of proposals from him, and our speakers chair took a look at some of his stuff online and said, yeah, we should grab as much of him as we can get as we can while we have him. So that's why we usually don't take speakers more than once with very few exceptions.
Right.
Deb Nicholson is an awesome speaker. She's actually the other person who's giving 2 talks for us. One, the technical talk on Saturday about why we need to decentralize the web. And then on Friday, talking about software patents, which is such an important issue.
Yeah.
Jonathan, I'm not going to pronounce his name right. NATO.
Oh. I always say it wrong too, Moose. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Accessibility is such an important topic that is ignored by so many people. It's so important for things like in the computer, especially in the computing world, but not just to be accessible to everybody. And especially if we're calling it free and open source, the software, the projects, the hardware, it needs to be open to everybody, not just able people.
Yeah.
We
exactly
things need to be open to people who have vision problems, who have hearing problems, who have physical disabilities, and it's really not that hard to make the difference that lets these projects be available to everyone.
Jonathan said lately the line technology is moving at a fantastic rate, but disadvantaged users are being left behind even faster.
I can believe that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can believe that. In my other hat, I work with a fairly large organization that, among other things, runs a fairly large web presence in a shall we say a niche area of the internets, and the idea that since they are an open source project, that they need the services of the services available by the organization to be available to all, caused them to establish a committee just for accessibility. And more projects really need to do that. But that's just my humble opinion.
And no, so I think that should just about be fact. That's a very good thing to shoot for.
And that's one of the reasons we're really glad to have this talk on board. And we really hope that it's popular. Unfortunately, it's scheduled against Zonker, who's Joe Brockmeyer, is always a fantastic speaker.
Gotcha. Oh, well, that's perfect for Jonathan, though. I'm sorry, because he has like a chip on his shoulder, really big about the word cloud. So
yeah, like, but we joked around when we were putting things together, and we've had cloud talks before, and then we said, well, you know, we've got enough diversity in the cloud talks that they're not all how to build a cloud, 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 that we can put them together and make a track that's about decentralized storage, for lack of a better term. But we kept making jokes about, oh yeah, it's the storm track. It's, you know, I think if there's a cloud joke, we made it.
Dor, why does Jonathan not like cloud? I don't know.
I don't want to ask him.
You'll get ranted at.
Exactly. I do not want to get him fired up. And I'll say, for the Podnuts community, there's another conflict with that same time, because they have a talk from our Richard Gingertech, Imaging with Fog, Computer Repair Techs, or people involved with PC installation. If you don't know Fog, you're working too hard. Mike Smith mentioned it the other day on your Podnuts episode,
yeah.
Steve. It is one of the greatest gifts a technician can have when they have to do a bunch of reinstalls. It's awesome.
Ah. Sweet.
So, yeah, you mentioned all of our other tracks. The open source solution stage is a track we've had for some years now. The idea of it is that we try very hard to keep commercialized talks off of the general tracks. There's nothing wrong with someone who works for a specific company or organization wanting to give a talk. But when a company or organization wants to give a talk that specifically pitches their brand of whatever, or they want to talk about a technology that refers back to their technology or their product, that's when we put them in the open source solution stage. And although the talks lean towards being advertising, the room is always, always standing room only. Because the folks who come and give talks, they're not all only energetic and entertaining and interesting speakers, but they also are talking about interesting topics. And yeah, they may be a bit commercialized, but that doesn't make them any less interesting.
Gotcha.
So we're still working on that specific schedule and who's speaking when. We do have one of the open source solution people was unable to come on Saturday, so he has the last talk before Mad Dog on Friday. And he is specifically advertised as a open source solutions an open source solution stage speaker, so that people understand that the talk may be somewhat commercialized.
Gotcha.
But that's the MySQL talk, and it still sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Now the career track is brand new this year. I had no less than 5 people, maybe more, come up to me last year and say, you know what'd be really great for next year? Let's have a job fair. You know, the unemployment is so bad in this area. It would be really great to come here, because a good 50 to 60% of the attendees at the Ohio Linux Fest are computer professionals in some manner. We get a good share of hobbyists, but the large majority are definitely professionals. Never forget that we had one year a mailman and an airplane mechanic. I think those are my 2 favorite jobs that weren't IT professionals. So every one of these people who came to me and said that last year, I said, that sounds fantastic. Here's my contact information. If you're willing to help put it on, we're willing to back you up and do it. And one of those people actually turned around, a guy named Warner Moore, who's been attending for as long as I've been involved with OLF, actually said, okay, I'm doing it. And he is. He's doing an amazing job. And what we're going to have is a mix of recruiters who will come in and say, I recruit for such and such company, or I'm a recruiter with this company that recruits for this type of these different organizations or these different companies. This is the type of jobs we're looking for. And we'll have a room set aside where some of the recruiters will actually even be able to do on-the-spot interviews right there. And additionally, to the recruiters, we'll also have knowledgeable speakers talking about what you can do to improve your career, what you can do to improve your job interviewing skills, what you can do to improve your chances of getting a job, working your resume, all that type of stuff. We've got a handful of people lined up for that. And this is really going to be helpful for anybody who's looking for a job or anyone who might be looking for a job sometime soon. So that's starting to shape up and come together.
That sounds really sweet. Smart.
And then our last brand new track, we don't have a real name for it yet. And I'd like to propose a little contest to your listeners, if I may. We developed a track. I mentioned earlier we have on Friday the Linux Basics class, the idea of somebody or people walking you through the installation of a Linux system. And when it comes to our Saturday talks, we get polarized. Half the people say the talks are too easy, and half the people say the talks are too hard.
Right.
And so what we said this year, actually we've said it for a couple of years, this is the first year we finally buckled down and did it, is, all right, we're going to have this pile of people who've just installed Linux for the first time, and there's definitely going to be a crowd of people who come here because they've just installed Linux, or they've been playing with this thing Linux, and they don't know how to edit their files, and they don't know how to get around the system, and then they don't know how to, you know, get things set up so it looks good. They don't know how to get their, you know, they want to play games like they used to on Windows. And so a couple of our people said, okay, actually the same people who do the class on Friday said, okay, we'll line up a bunch of teachers and they'll talk different small 1-hour chunks of, all right, this is how you get started in this, and this is how you get started in that. And there was this guy named McLaughlin, can't remember his first name. Anyway, he
Dork.
Yeah, him. And he sent in a bunch of proposals, and one really caught our eye. It was called "I've installed Linux, now what?" And I went to Scott and Kathy, who are doing all this organization. I said, "Here you go. You need this." And he's not the only one. We've got that class to lead us off. We've got somebody speaking about how he was an Apple fanboy and decided to make the complete leap to Linux, but he didn't want to lose the functionality he had on his Mac. So he went through and found applications and programs that let him do exactly what he did on the Mac on a Linux box. Cool. So he'll spend an hour talking about that. We have somebody talking about gaming on Linux. We have somebody who will talk for actually 2 hours about LibreOffice, a way for you to do everything you can do with Microsoft Office using free and open source software.
Ooh.
And we have other things too. Someone's talking about command line utilities, so how to actually type and get the responses you want. And this is a great next step for people who've installed Linux, who've played with Linux a little bit, but need to learn how to do a little bit more. But the catch is, we don't have a good title for this track. We don't know what to call it. We've called it the new Linux users track, the newbie people track. So, if anyone out there has a really good name for this track, send it to team, like in yay team, go team, T-E-A-M, at ohiolinux.org. And if we like your idea for a track and we use it, we'll give you a t-shirt in whatever size you want.
Nice.
And we're charging $25 for a t-shirt, so it's a free shirt.
I'm entering in that.
There you go.
Do it.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like you guys are directly reacting to those people that, the classes are too basic, the classes are too hard. Well, then shut your pie hole, go to whichever ones you want.
Yeah.
Because you have more advanced ones, and you have, I don't want to say less advanced ones, more beginner-friendly ones.
Yeah, this was a good way. I mean, we've tried in the past to outline which talks are more basic and which talks are more advanced, and sometimes it's really, really obvious by the talk description. But we found in the past that when we ask speakers, when they submit a proposal, when we ask speakers if this is a beginning, medium, or difficult, they almost always say medium,
yeah,
and they're almost always wrong.
Yeah. That's like asking me how much do I really love bacon.
There's, yeah, well,
I'm not a good judge of that. Because, like, you know, right. I mean, like, the one class or session called in Embedded Development with Linux. If anyone doubts that's anything except for advanced, I don't know what to tell them, because there's nothing that's going to be really basic about that except for basic advanced stuff.
Basic advanced
stuff. You know? But, yeah, I do think people have their own. It's like, you know, you can't let engineers develop directly communicate with normal people. Usually it won't end up being pretty.
No, a lot of engineers don't do well with translating from geek to human.
Exactly.
So yeah, by having this properly unnamed track, this gives us a chance to make the bulk of the rest of the talks more advanced. They're not all advanced. I mean, they're not all, they're going to fry your brain. But the really basic stuff has been pulled out and put into this track.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I'll say the one thing I really do appreciate that about you guys is you even have classes about PCBSD. I, for one, see absolutely no reason why you can't have a session on FreeNAS and BSD like you guys have, because it's really about open source software.
Yes.
you know, learning. It's not Linux, 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 Linux.
The Ohio Linux Fest maybe have the word Linux in it, but we're committed to supporting and sharing the information about and spreading the word about free and open source projects, no matter what they are. As someone put it in a rather heated argument, talks that say, here's a bunch of free and open source software that you can run on Microsoft Windows is completely appropriate for our conference, because it's not just about Linux. And every once in a while we get someone say, you know, why are you doing this? Why is there non-Linux stuff at a Linux fest? It's like, well, we're not just about Linux. You know, when we have for a few years now been very vocal about especially the whole, I don't hear it so much anymore, but there's no doubt in my mind that it's still going on. There's some faction of people who believe that there's a Linux versus BSD thing, as if it's open versus closed software, which is insane. If you support Linux, you should support all open source software. This, you know, when you put down another type of open source software, you're not helping your own cause.
Yeah, I definitely believe there is more than enough space in the software market for Linux to be very successful, BSD to be very successful, Unix to be very successful. And there's no reason why the two can't mingle. I think BSD makes, to be honest, the most solid firewall type distribution available. On the desktop, I think Linux has an edge, and all that's just belief. I don't think one is really greater than the other, but I think they each have something to offer, and to ignore them is kind of bad.
It depends what you want to do, where your expertise is, what you have available, what expertise you have available. I used to work years ago for a supercomputing center, and the huge, vast majority of our infrastructure was NetBSD. Hmm. But when we started replacing the Unicose Crays, because Cray was no longer making Unicose, we had a big file archiver, as you would imagine a site that, you know, builds files terabyte and bigger would. And when we built a homegrown file archiver, it was 100% Linux. But you know, all the networking infrastructure, all the file servers, name services, authentication stuff, that was all BSD based. And then we started getting Crays and other machines that were all Linux based, and they all worked wonderfully together.
That's cool. Typically you don't hear about, let's say, unlike systems working together really seamlessly.
It depends. And if you've got a bunch of people who know and understand NetBSD well enough, and if you've, or whatever version of BSD you like, and if you've got a bunch of people who understand whatever version of Linux or versions of Linux you're running, it's not really hard to get people to find the common ground between the two and make it all work together, or three or four, however many distros you're running. It just requires patience. Of course, how many geeks have that? But well, sysadmins quickly learn that you have patience or you have a disaster.
Yeah, if you rush, it's going to always lead to failure.
But
very cool. Well, there's still more keynote speakers than what we've already said, right? Because there's like four, I think.
There's four. We have Mad Dog Friday night. Friday afternoon, late afternoon. We have Wendy Seltzer, first thing in the morning. And then at... I just realized this... The schedule's missing...
It's not 6 p.m. Elizabeth Carby?
Yeah, it is, but I think there's something missing here. Not a word. Yeah, the 6 p.m. slot is what we call the pre-keynote keynote. It's not a public name, but it's sort of our internal nickname for it, because there's often other things going on. The open source solution stage still goes on. The other two new tracks may be going on still as well. We're not sure yet, but it's still a keynote quality talk. And Elizabeth Garby is BDL Garby's oldest kid. And even though I say that, Elizabeth stands on her own. She's spoken before at the Ohio Linux Fest twice, and she's spoken at various other conferences since she was 14 or so. Fairly
wow,
young.
Wow.
She started with her first Linux box. She built a Debian machine with a little help at 9 years old. And she's been using open source since. And she's spoken to OLF about, I think my favorite talk of hers was about how to apply for college using open source.
And how old was she?
16? 17?
Very cool. Very cool.
And she's now a sophomore at Oberlin. Really creepy to me because, well... I knew BDL and his wife when they were undergrads, and there's another person I knew as an undergrad at the same university at the same time, and who's actually another couple who met at the same university, and their oldest kid is also going to Oberlin. It's just really disturbing.
Disturbing.
It's yeah, I don't think they've even ever met yet, which is just, you know, I'm insane. But anyway, so Elizabeth's now studying, I believe she's studying astrophysics, which means that while her dad launches rockets, she's the rocket scientist.
Wow.
It's wild.
So she's actually going to be talking about using Linux for 10 years, which is appropriate because this is our 10th anniversary for the Ohio Linux Fest. This is the 10th one ever. And although I'm not sure that 10 years ago the Ohio Linux Fest was exactly a 9-year-old with a Debian box, it started out originally as an Interlug meeting. And there are pictures I found online. It's basically a classroom at OSU with, you know, 20 people all looking bored, staring at some speaker up front. And that was just it. It was just a room at OSU, a big lecture room where they got a bunch of people to talk. And that's how OLF started.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I think it was the attendance that year was about 60 people. And then we peaked it so far at 1,300. I want to beat that this year.
Cool.
And so, yeah, so Elizabeth has the pre-keynote slot. And then in the evening, we have Angela Byron. And she is Drupal.
Yeah.
She's a Drupal 7 core co-maintainer. She was so excited to see that we ran Drupal. she's on the board of directors for Drupal. She's really big on Drupal community. She does community stuff for her quote unquote real job. And so she'll be talking with us about how to create ravenously passionate contributors. And there's really nobody better to talk about that than somebody who is a ravenously passionate contributor herself.
Gotcha. Yeah, cool. I'll say Drupal to me seems like, I don't want to say the most successful but it seems like the highest polished, most used piece of software by all levels of business and government. I am personally huge, maniacal fan of Drupal. Every chance I get, I install Drupal and install modules, configure, and just see what kind of, the way I think of it, art I can make Drupal do. So that, I'm very interested in hearing her talk, period, just because she's connected with Drupal.
We've discovered the hard way that how to make Drupal break. We found out last year that you don't install a reporting module into Ubercart after you've opened your store.
Good to know. Writing that down.
Well, a lot of people, apparently with Drupal 7 comes with its own Drupal Commerce, and so a lot of people use that instead of Ubercart. And we've been discussing, we're planning on upgrading to Drupal 7 after the event. We've been trying to decide which of the two will drive us more crazy, since I have a very strong love-hate relationship with Ubercart.
I'm still on Drupal 6. I just don't touch it because it's rock solid for me.
No, we're running Drupal 6 right now. And
7's probably great. I wouldn't know.
Well, the biggest advantage to 7 is that a lot of the patching and upgrade stuff is very seamless. Drupal 6 still requires Circus Clowns and Calliope music in the background. And a lot of stuff has been smoothed out in Drupal 7, making it a lot easier to maintain.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'll say just some of the other talk titles I'm seeing make me want to listen. Mahi, powerful, simple home server. A Mahi almost, dare I say, magically tries to be all things to all home server users. That thing, I'm honestly shocked at the diversity and the simplicity that thing offers. The other one, honestly, it makes me want to get a little twitchy, is a Level Up Linux and the original Game Boy. If I go to that talk, I might, as soon as I leave, go on eBay and bid for an old original Game Boy just so I can do something on it.
I have one.
Very cool.
Still works.
Oh, well, they were built like a rock.
Well, I had some problem with the controllers, and Beth Lynn Eicher rebuilt them for me because she is the coolest thing since sliced bread.
I believe I met her last year, right?
She is the Uber boss. She is one of the the three board members of the Ohio Linux Fest Corporation, and really, when push comes to shove, she is the Uber boss. She makes the final decisions. She is she is something else. And she is the one who got Mad Dog hooked in, who's effectively saved OLF from possible failure. It had started out, like I said, as a an interlog meeting, and after a while, it wasn't so much that people didn't care anymore. It's that it has basically started with college students, and the college students started graduating, and they started getting those live things, and they started having jobs and other things to worry about, and it was, you know, a month out, and they hadn't done a bunch of the preparations, and they had no sponsors lined up, or they had very few sponsors lined up, and she just jumped in and started building up OLF to where it is today. And OLF wouldn't be the massively huge, cool conference today without Bethel and Eicher. So, and it's not just her. I mean, we have an amazing staff. We've grown our staff this year. We're looking to grow it more. Everybody who works on the event is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I'll say every one of the volunteers, in the way they acted, I was almost shocked they weren't paid, because they were ultra nice, helpful, respectful. And to be honest, there when you wanted to ask a question, not there when you didn't want them there, kind of thing. They were just doing their jobs, and I was really shocked at how good they did.
Everybody involved with OLF from staff down is not paid. Nobody in OLF staff gets a dime out of this. Everybody does it in their free time, out of the love for open source software and running a psychotic conference and obeying the crazy couch. And we're actually looking to increase our number of volunteers this year. And we're actually are looking towards some sort of reward system where you work so many hours and we give you something nice, like a free t-shirt or something in exchange. Especially we need to beef up our safety and security volunteers. We don't really have problems per se. We've had a couple of thefts over the years, but knock on the rocks in my head, nothing more serious, I hope. At least nothing that's ever been reported. That doesn't say we want any, but we mostly just need people to help with, I don't want to call it crowd control, because that's not accurate either, but there's other groups that will be in the convention center and in the area, and our sponsors are half of what keeps the Ohio Linux Fest running. And one of the ways that we attract and keep sponsors is to be able to say, we had this many people last year. Right. So that's how many people you can come to who will find out about your product. And so if we have people who just randomly wander in and aren't registered and aren't properly identified, we can't count them in what we tell our sponsors.
I see.
So for that reason, that's the biggest reason we need to beef up our safety force.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say the whole reason this is technically free to walk in the door, and if you want to support, you pay so little, is partially because so many sponsors get that data and then the following year basically put their money where their mouth is and offer to help support this event. Without the sponsors, I think we would be meeting in like a park.
Yeah.
You know,
and our sponsors are just, we get the greatest sponsors. I can't tell you yet the name of one of our sponsors who is backing our entertainment for Saturday night. And I can't even tell you who it is yet.
Hooters.
Oh, jeez.
That would be against our conduct policy.
I'm just kidding.
Moose, he does not represent the views or opinions of...
Bad Steve, go stand in the corner. I can't tell you who it is because we have to nail down a couple of final details with the venue, but we are working with a very close nearby bar that is set up for, among other things, entertainment. They have a really nice selection of beers and other drinks available, alcoholic and non, and food, and I can't tell you who it is yet, but let me tell you something. There's a reason that we're charging a whopping whole $5, but we are charging for tickets for the Saturday night party, and that's because the venue has a size limit. And when people find out who our entertainment is going to be, we think that's going to be snapped right up.
Wow. And
this is going to be a, you know, get one or lose out.
Lady Gaga. No.
You're close. Yeah, no.
God, I hope not. So if you guys didn't get the gist of that, limited number of tickets. Get them now or you wait outside for me to come out, because they have tasty beer. Me and Tracy and the other guys might.
Well, you can come out, but nobody else can come in if they don't have a ticket. Because we are going to sell as many tickets, roughly. there will be a limit to the tickets as to the number of people that can be in the building.
That's fair.
And yeah, and one of the things we need to work out with the venue is to make sure that because the venue is so small that we have the ability to not let anybody who doesn't have the specific thing that gets you in, because if say OSU students find out that who our particular entertainment is, they might want to come crash the party, and we don't want people who rightfully have the tickets to get in to not be able to get in for space reasons.
Wow. So, wow. I'm definitely signing up after the show now. Yeah. Right. Got me all curious.
That's another reason to sign up for a safety volunteer. And if you want to sign up as a volunteer, if you go to the How to Help link, I believe it's the correct link, on the top of the page, bad mouse, no cookie. Get involved. You got to get involved. There's a link at the bottom. Oh, that's a terrible place for it. I got to move that around. There's a form. And actually, if you go to ohiolinux.org/volunteer, there's a form you can fill out to volunteer.
And that gets you free into the party, you're saying.
Well,
she's not saying that straight up, Steve. Come on.
If you volunteer first, I don't have the exact numbers yet. We're still working out the exact numbers. But depending on what you do, if you volunteer for a certain number of hours, then yeah, it would be probably a fairly high number, but we will make sure that you have a ticket.
Nice. It's you would have earned it at that point, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You pat the backs of people who help.
And the truth is you could say no and just spend the $5 yourself, but you know, the time may come when it's September 1st and we're already out of tickets.
Gotcha. Right.
So. Yeah. I got a super quick question, Moose. I know Friday pre-party registered in my head. I'm there. Saturday is the busy day. Saturday is also the day when, dare I say, the swag comes out, correct?
Yeah. Saturday is when the, what we call the expo floor. And actually, the expo floor, this year we've got a big change to the layout of OLF as a whole. In the past, we've been fairly local to a group of rooms. We've used these big ballrooms. We've used a couple of nearby rooms. Instead, what we've done this year is we've moved. And we're using, if you look at maps of the inside of the convention center, they have groups of rooms they call pods, and the pods have... Now, don't get confused, because they have A, B, C, D, E, blah, blah, blah. They have the letters for the pods, which are bunches of rooms linked together. And then they use those same letters for, I forget what they call them. They're big, huge open areas that they'll take like 30,000 people. And those aren't the ones we're using. But we're using the C pods and the D pods, and we're using them both days. And what we're doing with the expo this year is that the really big sponsors, the ones who get the booths, the ones who give us the most amount of money, they're going to go into a big room down in the D-Pod area. And cool. D-Pod area is where the open source solution stage is going to be. It's where the career track's going to be. It's where the new Unix, whatever we're calling them, Linux, new people, whatever track is going to be as well. It's where the interview rooms for the career track is going to be. And then the smaller sponsors, including the .orgs, the other conferences, the EFF type free organizations, they're going to be mixed in the C-Pod area. And so we're going to be spread out there. And these are the folks where you get a combination of swag and information and meet all sorts of interesting vendors and organizations. And our sponsors are great.
Hey, Moose, just real quick, we're in Google Hangout. You might get a little ding, 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 or you got to click yes on the Google Hangout.
Okay.
I know. It's
never had that happen.
It's a Google script running Python, I'm sure. Okay, well, to me, it makes sense having all that stuff there. And knowing the layout of the place, it makes even more sense to have it all in that area. So everything you need like that is right there. My question is, there is still stuff going on Sunday, and I don't want to sell that stuff short, so I want to make sure we talk about that, too. Can you tell us about that one?
There's two big things going on Sunday. One is the certification tests. Every year we offer LPI certification tests. You can take any of the LPI tests that are available. They're back to pen and paper this year. Last year we beta tested some online tests for them. This year apparently they're going back to pen and paper. And there's also BSDA certification tests available as well. If you take the LPI CRAM class in preparation for the LPI C101 and 102, be aware that the cost of the CRAM class does not include the cost of the actual testing.
Right.
And you have to go through LPI. The instructions are on ohiolinux.org/certs. There's information there on how to register for the tests. And when you show up, you're required to bring a picture ID and 6 pounds of chocolate for me. And the other thing we have going on Sunday is our diversity and open source workshop. The idea of the workshop is to encourage a more diverse audience and attendance at not just the Ohio Linux Fest, but in open source organizations as a whole. And by diversity, we can mean anything from ethnicity to gender to disability to just about anything you can think of. And when I first wrote up the page for the workshop, I put as a joke, you know, they say that on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog. What happens when they find out you really are one? And I went to change it, and everyone said, no, that's exactly it. That's exactly the issue is, you know, people don't know who you really are, and then sometimes they find out, and they start treating you weirdly. And so we encourage anybody who is interested in helping to make a change in open source in general to come, and we charge a small fee, which basically just goes to cover, excuse me, it's from Dort coughing, it's made me do it. We charge a small fee, which just goes to cover brunch because we're there for 3 or 4 hours talking. And we have a new chair this year. I think she's actually planning on having some people speak, not just in the past we've done sort of guided discussion as well. We've done both, and it usually turns out pretty well.
That's very cool. To me, isolating the test after, quote unquote, after the 2 days is very smart. People can get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, the test starts at 11 a.m. so you can sleep in after drinking too much of the really good beer the night before.
Exactly.
Good.
I was just gonna ask you real quick about the registration options. Great minds. I really like how you're doing it different this year. Can you tell us about some of it?
In the past, we used to offer 3 levels of registration. We had the Enthusiast Pass, which is basically your free registration. Anybody can have it. Just sign up and pay nothing and come. And we had a Supporter Pass, which was designed to help support run the conference and give something back to you at the same time. And then we had the Professional Pass, which covers the Ohio Linux Fest Institute. And what happened was the economy crashed, and the Supporter Pass wasn't getting us anything. It was basically paying for the things we were giving away. And actually, it was our OLFI chair, Scott Merrill, who said, why don't we... His original suggestion was doing tiered registration, and We bandied about a bit, and what we decided to do is more of an a la carte thing. There's still the enthusiast registration, which is still free. There's still the professional level registration, which for $350, unless you're taking the Linux Basics class, gets you some coffee and donuts or something in the morning, and lunch, and a full day of professional classes. And then instead of just this one thing, you can order a t-shirt, you can buy a ticket for the Saturday night party, you can flat out just make a donation. And the thing is, we have more things coming down the pike for this. We're working on a limited dinner with certain speakers. Right now we have Mad Dog and Wendy Seltzer lined up. This will be on Friday night. It'll cost $50 for 20 people only. And Mad Dog will have a special item just for the people who show up to that to raffle off just to them.
Okay. When's that going up?
Huh?
Can I know when that's coming up?
Yeah, I'll drop you specifically a line so you get first dibs.
Sweet! Okay,
sorry. It's good to know people, isn't it?
Oh, very.
Yeah, we're just going to sell only 20 tickets, and we're not going to feed you pizza. We'll take you to a restaurant. I'm not sure which one yet, but we'll find some place that has reasonable food, and we'll sit you in a corner, and you get to have some one-on-one time or one-on-19 time with some of our speakers. Unfortunately, Elizabeth can't join it because she's going to drive down from Oberlin for the day, because Oberlin's like 2 hours away. She's going to load up her friends in the car, drag them all down, come to OLF for the day, speak, and then sometime that evening drive back to Cleveland or Oberlin. And unfortunately, Angie Byron just found out that she has to be somewhere else and won't get in till after the dinner Friday, so she can't join. But we'll find a couple of other people to join. If not, we'll put a wig on a mop and claim it's somebody famous. No, really, this is Linus. Will we lie?
Yeah, just have it giving them the bird. And they'll believe it.
So what else are we working on? We're working on some discount coupons for local restaurants for the weekend. We have something else down the pike. So keep an eye out. We'll make announcements when we bring the new things online. And there's also all sorts of other ways to support the Ohio Linux Fest. We'll be holding, of course, our annual raffle.
Cool.
Too many pickles. Yeah,
I went out and bought a pile of pickles today.
Man, I could go for some pickles right now, actually.
Well, I got a super quick question, and I know I probably
you've said that 18 times already.
This is what he.
I didn't say this was the last one.
Uh-huh.
That just quick. I know I shouldn't bring up something that isn't here anymore, but I just dumb question. I guess you guys don't have polo shirts anymore.
We're looking at doing we may not have it done by the event itself. We're doing t-shirts very differently this year, and I should bring this up in general.
If I can buy them after the fact, I'll be just as happy.
Yeah. What we normally do is order a crapload of t-shirts based on what people order. And then what winds up happening is the next year we have all these leftover t-shirts that we have to sell off, and we often have to sell them off at a loss. And it's a pain in the butt for a variety of reasons. So this year, what we're doing is we're going to announce a cutoff date. And anybody who orders a t-shirt after a certain date is not guaranteed to get it at the event, but will instead have it shipped to their house.
That's fair.
Anybody who orders a t-shirt at the event will also have it shipped to their house. What we're looking at doing is creating some, shall we call them, generic t-shirts and possibly polo shirts, too, that are done on demand that people can just order whenever. So you'd be able to support the Ohio Linux Fest year-round.
Cool.
And they won't be year-specific.
That's fine.
Yeah, the polo.
Honestly, cool. I like going into work, talking to someone who obviously has no idea what his job actually entails, and then once in a while pointing down to my shirt and saying, you know, Linux. And then just having the glazed look come over their eyes, and then just, you know, I could say anything after that, and they would have no idea what's going on.
Do you have any other super quick questions or non-super quick questions, Dor?
Maybe.
Go for it.
Well, just launch her a softball. Now, okay, technically speaking, my opinion, people should try to get there late Thursday night so they have time to get in bed, wake up Friday morning, rock and roll, get things going. My question is, what hotels, you mentioned about $110 a night, and I can verify that. I don't think, though, we said the names of the hotels or how we can access those hotels, did we?
Yeah, if you go to ohiolinks.org, I'm pretty sure it's /hotels. Dummy, you've got the page.
Hotel.
Yeah, the link is hotel info, and the yeah, it's hotel singular. If it's not, there isn't a link for hotels plural, I'll make one. Ooh, that's not hard to do in Drupal. Nope, exactly. Doesn't work. I'll fix that.
Okay.
Not this very second. Jot that down. Hotel point two. I can do that. Okay. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. So instead of being concentrated in one, there's another big event going on in the same area the same weekend. So we couldn't commit to one hotel, but we do have a block of rooms in the Drury again. And the Drury rooms are really nice, and they come with a free breakfast, which has always been a big waste for me because I'm always on my way to the convention center when they're just starting to pull the eggs out.
I did notice that.
But the rooms are nice. The staff is friendly. I've always enjoyed staying in the Drury. We also have a block of rooms at the Hyatt. Also very nice. Also very, very helpful place. Really, really appreciate their rooms. And we have a block of rooms at the Red Roof Inn. Now, the Hyatt and the Drury are directly connected through internal walkways to the convention center. I don't think the Red Roof is quite as connected, but it's like across the street. So it's really not that much further. And I've never stayed in that particular Red Roof, but I'm actually a big fan of the chain because I'm disabled. I stay in disabled rooms. And I've always liked disabled rooms in the Red Roof Inn. They're amazingly well done for a budget-priced motel chain. And in the event that they sell out, we generally can find other motels and hotels in the area who will give us some overflow rooms. But we haven't quite reached that point yet. But we may. And we usually do. We usually wind up with between 5 or 6 hotels total.
That's what I believe, because you know, there's a lot of people, and I have a friend who is in the hotel business, and the ideas of blocks are, you know, you can't overcommit to them, so you got to take what you can get and go with it. And last year I stayed in the Hyatt. I can say nice hotel, but I know the Drury sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it really sounded good. And yeah, every morning when because I slept in just a little bit, every morning when I got up and came outside, the first thing I saw was you and the crew going over to the convention center. And then I would see everybody else eating their breakfast while I didn't get the hot breakfast.
Yeah, the first time I ever went to OLF, I wasn't there as part of OLF. I was part of there with the people who used to do what's now the OLF Institute. And I stayed in the Drury. And one of my biggest recollections with them was how patient the desk clerks were, because, of course, we kept overloading the wireless internet, which then was fairly new to have in a hotel, and crashing it. And like the third time it happened, a couple people got up and very patiently explained to the very accommodating clerk how to fix the problem, and walked her through, you know, like unplugging and power cycling the modem and the you know, the usual funky chicken dance. But yeah, the Drury staff have always been very accommodating and very helpful to attendees and the conference as a whole. The Hyatt staff has always been the same. Very accommodating, very helpful. Never heard any complaints about the Hyatt, except people who, in the past, when we concentrated in the Drury, then the Hyatt doesn't charge as discounted a rate. And so people complained about the price. Well, you know, sorry, we can't control that too much. If the Hyatt won't give us the rate, the better rate that we want, then we wind up going somewhere else.
No, it's the Hyatt. This isn't, you know, Motel 6.
Well, last year we really wanted to go back to stay with the Hyatt, and they thought that they were going to be getting some big convention that they wound up never getting. And you know, it's always a risk and a gamble on both sides. And they said, no, we won't give you the $110 rate. So we said, okay. This year, all three hotels went to us and said, we'll give you roughly the same rate, you know, wow, each of them. And we said, absolutely fine. And that's nice, because the other event that's, you're right, the other thing that we know of that's going on claims to attract up to 15,000 people. So,
oy.
Yeah.
Can I throw you a curveball question?
Always.
Okay. I don't know what. No. Exactly. I don't know what in the hell this is supposed to be, but I've had a guy tell me reasonably close to the convention center, like I want to say 2 miles or 3 miles, there are areas designated as brewery districts. Do you by any chance have any idea what the hell that means? Because I've never heard of such a thing.
Brewery district?
Brewery district. I'm looking at the map, and if I go south, maybe a little bit on Google Maps, maybe a mile, not even a mile, there's a section that's green, and when I zoom in, it says brewery district.
Have you actually Googled something like Brewery District Columbus, Ohio, and see what it says?
Yeah, and it didn't make any sense to me. I don't read.
I see.
I'm not a reader. I just felt like taking the shot in the dark and just seeing if you had any
Brewery District. And it even starts filling it in for me. Columbus, Ohio. It might just be look. That's Cincinnati. The Brewery District is a neighborhood in, this is Wikipedia, located in Columbus, Ohio, located just south of the Central Business District. It has a history near 2,200 years. Blah, blah, blah. It has to do with Prohibition. There used to be 5 breweries there.
Well, as long as one's open, I'm happy.
Apparently there's a bunch of pubs and...
Cool. Yeah, so like in Baltimore, we would have, besides clinics there, we would have, it's a place called Fell's Point where you can like jump from bar to bar to bar.
Yeah, I there's one in Pittsburgh too, and I'm sure there's one in most decent-sized cities.
Right. Very cool.
Good question, Dor.
Well, you know, she had the patience and know how to go to Wikipedia, where I just keep asking people, what the hell does this mean?
Well, I went to Google, and Google sent me to Wikipedia.
Ah, the Google.
Yeah, the Rainbow Borg, my friends call it.
Very cool. I don't know if there's really anything we didn't cover. I'd say...
I'm looking at my notes.
Well, while you look at that, just real quick, have you had any goals or aspirations for this fest? And do you think that you're on track to meeting them?
My biggest, I have two big goals. One is we took a hit in membership last year, in attendance rather. And the conference, I guess they're both tied together in this. We took a hit in attendance mostly because of the economy, not because of anything that we did. I think the conference was rock solid. I think we just lost out on people not wanting to spend the gas money to drive the hour. You know, we got the core local people, and we got some regulars from out of town. And yeah, the economy is still not the greatest thing. And I don't know about where you are, but gas prices just bopped up here too.
Yeah.
But my goal is to break our attendance record, which is 1,300 people, and to really make Ohio Linux Fest the conference that people talk about and say, I want to go to this next year. We are always in the shadow of scale. Yeah. And that's not a bad thing, because scale, if you've ever had the chance to go to scale in Los Angeles, it is awesome. And we have a very, very friendly, it's not really a rivalry, you know, some of their folks come to our staff meetings, and they humorously occasionally enact things that we've discussed in our meetings, whether they thought of it individually or not. You know, there's no malice in that. You know, our conference is also open. But scale has the advantage of being in Los Angeles, where there's 10 zillion people, and the economy isn't quite as nasty as it is in the middle of Ohio. So they're always going to be bigger than we are. They're always going to be able to get the really huge piles of sponsors, because they've got all these big companies right there. But we can try to be the biggest grassroots conference on this side of the U.S.
Cool.
And I think with things like the job fair, with the whatever we're going to call the new Linux track, remember, send your ideas to team@ohiolinux.org, and if we like your choice, we will send you a t-shirt or give you one at the conference. I think all these things, and the party, let's not forget the parties, these are big attractions that are going to pull in the people. And my goal is to break in our attendance record and to really have the best 10th year anniversary of the Ohio Linux Fest ever.
Very cool. Now real quick, I got a very important question. Not for me.
But it's okay? Still very quick.
Well, it's Cody Cooper in the chat room. You know, the classes are very important. The times this stuff starts is very important. The keynotes are very important. But to a fellow like myself, and apparently to him, he is just wondering, what would you say is a very close and very good restaurant to visit on one of the days, because I think we're going to get there a day early.
Oh, there's a bunch.
Well, there's one, I think, like across the street from the Drury I saw, but I didn't see it till it was too late.
Well, the number one place that always pops to the top of my head is the place where we used to hold our pre-party. It's called Barley's, which is across from the Seapod area and the convention center. And their food is fantastic. They're a brew pub. We regret that we can't use them anymore, but their party room is fairly tiny and it's not handicapped accessible. So it's, you know, it's downstairs with only stairs accessible. There's a, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it. It's an Irish pub. There's a strip of restaurants. There's a Max and Aaron's and this Irish pub across from the Drury. Excuse me. The Irish pub is fantastic. I went there a couple years ago. I went with when Monty Montgomery was one of our keynotes. He's a friend of mine. Yeah, he's the gentleman who invented Og.
Ah, very cool.
Yeah, he is. This is a man who, for fun, used to repair bassoons, and who likes to restore sewing machines because he thinks of them as musical instruments.
Wow.
And yeah, he and his wife are really good friends of mine.
Does he play the sewing machine like a musical?
No, but his wife does. She plays the bassoon, she plays the sewing machine.
Gotcha. Super quick, Moose. Could it be 89 Fish and Grill?
No.
I see that across the street from the Drury.
Oh, okay. Now I'll look. Hang on.
Sorry, didn't mean to.
No, that's okay.
See, I'm thinking Google Street View could save the day.
Drury.
What, did you see something door when you were there?
I remember that's where I was getting ready to go stalk John Mad Dog when I saw him, because he went over there to eat dinner, and I said, I can't.
That wasn't you. Never mind.
No, I was just a little disturbed.
Thursday night after we did a bunch of bag stuffing and pre-prep stuff, we dragged a bunch of people off to Barley's for dinner, and Mad Dog was there, and we invited him to join us.
I see restaurant bar begins with M.
Oh.
McLaughlin's.
It looks like, why am I not surprised? It looks like that place that I went is no longer there.
No.
And has been replaced by this 89 Fish and Grill.
Oh, it looks like Max and Laura's, maybe?
Max and Irma's is a chain.
That's a chain. It's a burger place,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love their, they call it tortilla soup, but it's basically cheese soup. It's really, really good.
Yeah,
it's a
cheese.
Big chain. There's also, speaking of chains, a BD's Mongolian Grill up the way.
They're pretty fun.
They are. There's the place that used to be the Man Bear Pig, which is now called...
Ooh.
343 Front Street is the address of this place. It, a couple of years ago, we had one of our parties there, and they were called Frog, Bear, and Wild Boar. And nobody could remember the name, and somebody started calling them Man Bear Pig. And we still call them, like, the former Man Bear Pig. And unfortunately, when the Man Bear Pig people... closed up shop. They actually sold the place to one of the two owners, bought the others out, and they broke off part of the property and cut the size of the place in half, making it too small for us to use anymore, which is sad because they were perfect. They were a perfect venue.
Cool.
Yeah, I do see a place right next to a gas station.
Another place to go eat is North Market. Is basically this, you know, big building full of stuff. There's a barbecue place there. I don't remember all the things. And if you Google North Market, Columbus, Ohio, they have a website where they list all the things and stuff in there. And it's not very far. I think the place that we're using for the after party might be in North Market too, come to think of it.
Very cool. Yeah, I can say that barbecue place, I talked to the guy for a couple seconds. Everything basically he kills, serves, was killed. It was killed like locally. This is not stuff that's been shipped over, you know, hundreds of miles. Everything was local. And virtually every little shop I talked to in there, their stuff came from a short trip away.
Yum.
And everything I had in there was fantastic. I was really, really impressed by that.
One of my biggest regrets with OLF is that I almost never have the time to go anywhere. As a matter of fact, you know, things like the dinners and the parties, I almost never make it to because by the time 7 o'clock rolls around, I'm ready for bed. I've been going since 5 a.m. and I've had it. I'm too old for this shit. excuse me.
Don't worry. We'll go for you.
Yeah.
Just know that we're having fun for you.
Right. And if they have drink, tickets, I'd ask, can I have yours too?
There's a season.
I kid.
Oh, sure kind you do. Of. All right, I'm completely kind of. Lost now.
Don't worry about it. We do the whole next episode of Linux for Restaurants on restaurants near LOL.
I gotta look one more place. Come on, grind.
Oh, Barley's. That was the place that had sauerkraut hush puppies that Tracy was like giddy over.
Yuck.
No.
I just don't like sauerkraut.
Oh, not you too. I love sauerkraut.
I'll say this. I never go out of my way for sauerkraut, and if someone cooks it, I typically leave the house. But Tracy being Tracy, I couldn't say no, and I took a bite, and that thing was good. I will say that.
Really? That's the thing. I've never tasted it because it just smells horrendous. Oh, it
smells
bad.
Well, maybe it's pretty good. I'm a parent with a kid now, so it smells I'm kind of numb too. Sad but true. Sorry.
Yep. The place that I was thinking of definitely closed, and it was at 89 East Nationwide. Damn. It was apparently a chain as well. It was called Michael O'Toole's.
Well, with a name like O'Toole's, it couldn't be bad.
Exactly. All right, guys. Is there anything else you want to cover?
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I should have mentioned in the registration at the one of the big things is we're no longer offering lunch on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm not going. Well, I'm canceling my flight after.
I heard Kevin O'Brien on Sunday Morning Linux Review, smlr.us, and he was like, you know, for the money you're saving, you can go across the street and get something better anyway.
Yeah. And we're looking at having gift certificates and the like available, discount. Some of the local restaurants are offering discount coupons. And the truth of the matter is they were charging us about $30 and everybody hated the lunch on Saturday. Now, the flip side of that is that the people who attend OLFI love the lunch. We do a Mexican buffet, which is vegetarian friendly. And it's really, really good. And everybody loves it. And I never could get it through my head that everybody loved the Friday lunch, and then on Saturday, everybody complained. Go figure.
It's weird.
So,
it's an oddity.
Have anything else? Check. Blah, 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 blah. I think. I don't know whether it's worth mentioning or not, but one of the biggest complaints that we get every year is, why is there no free wireless at the conference?
Well, because it's not you.
Because it would cost about $10,000.
Yeah, because it isn't Ohio more. Linux Fest's choice. It's the convention center. And it's a contract they have to deal with, so you have to deal with them. And it's business class kind of thing where they're expecting people to have oodles of cash.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, people complain there's the ISP in the building now does have you can buy a hook onto the network for like $10 or $12. I forget what it is.
That's not bad.
It's typical with the business class mentality of that type of thing. But yeah, the fact of the matter is when people come up to me and complain about it, I basically look them in the eye and say, it would cost $10,000 to $15,000. If you would like to help us find a sponsor, pay for that. I'll introduce you to our sponsor's chair. We're happy to bring you on board.
do they get LTE in that area?
What is LTE?
Take that as a no.
I got a strong cell phone signal, 4G.
They might, but you're in a building that's an old building, that's a concrete building, that's a big building.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard mixed things. I've heard that if you go by the doors to outside, you can get a decent signal. But from anywhere else, you're kind of boned.
Okay.
Yeah, me and Tracy Holtz last year with Haytel, it was like, you know, we were making weird poses going towards doors trying to get our signal early. You know?
Cool. All right, guys. Can you think of anything else?
Butter. I like butter, too.
Bacon. Pickles.
Might as well wrap this up before we hit the record for the longest Linux for the rest.
I can talk.
Anybody who sent us an email or a voicemail, we're going to do it next week, so no worries.
I just got to say, or he will get mad at me, Cody did send a congratulations voicemail in for episode 100.
Cody, I'm sorry. I don't. I'm not even prepared to play voicemails because my house is basically
empty. Right.
I have
Cody
one laptop, one audio interface, and a mic here. That's it.
And a sink.
Yeah, and a sink.
And that's about it.
And some necessities. But we'll definitely read it next week or play it next week. And dude, thank you very much for the congratulations. It's much appreciated. Let's see. If you guys do want to send us voicemails, send them to 7076-PODNUT. Call that on your phone, 7076-PODNUT. If you want to send us an email, send it to mail@podnuts.com, or you can send it straight to door@doortodoorgeek@podnuts.com. And let's just go around here. And any last comments from Door and Moose? Door, anything else you want to say before we end off?
My Kickstarter is almost done. There's less than 48 hours left, and I'm over $3,000.
Nice.
I honestly cannot thank the people enough. $3,106. It's kind of nuts.
Wow.
Insane. I honestly want to take this also time to ultra thanks Kevin McLaughlin for two times a day, some days, tweeting and Google Plusing that my Kickstarter's up and you can go help. He's over above and beyond. With that, don't forget, people, team@ohiolinux.org. What should the new user track be? And honestly, I think I'm going to have a couple extra t-shirts, Moose, so I'll be happy to throw in a t-shirt to the winner as well.
Okay, thank you.
And Moose, thanks for joining us. It's fun talking to you as usual, and we're looking forward to the fest. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we end off?
Thanks much for having me on, letting me babble so much, and I'm honored to be on your 100th show.
Yes. Yes, I didn't even expect that today. It's nice having you on. All right, and everybody's tuning in and watching us live, thank you. If anybody's downloading, streaming, whatever you're doing, it's much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed the show. That's going to be it for Linux for the rest of us for this week. See you next week.